Well, we're continuing our studies in the book of Romans. Hopefully this morning we will finish the sixth chapter. I'm going to read verses 15 through 23. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members as servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin, become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul is trying to present to those to whom he is writing the value of life for the coming kingdom age. That's really the bottom line of what he is teaching. And he is teaching that if we are living in sin to the point that we are lawless, you're not going to rule and reign with Christ in his coming kingdom. You're going to spend the millennium or 1,000 years in Thanatos. Now, Thanatos is the word death. And I think that it's significant in the way it is used in Paul's writings as well as others. And I want, it's not in our note, in your notes, but I want to turn to Revelation chapter 1 in verse 18. Jesus is speaking. He says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. The death. And the word hell, by the way, is the word Hades. It's the grave. But the point I'm making here is this. Death, or Thanatos, is a place. It's got a door on it, I assume that you have keys go in a door. At least at our house we do. Keys go to doors. And keys lock people out. And the keys can also lock people in. And if you stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ and find out that you're going to be put in this place, you're going to want out. And you're not going to be able to get out. And so therefore, Paul is writing to those at Rome, and he's writing to us here in Northeast Minneapolis, that we want to make sure that we are not placed into this undesirable place, but that we might have life for the age. And so therefore, we better not be practicing sin. We better not be living in sin. We had better be serving the Lord in righteousness. Verse 15 says, what then? This is the question. May we sin? And the word shall we sin would be better, may we sin? Because it's subjunctive. The implication is, the answer is, of course, no. God forbid. By the way, the word God is not in the text. It's been added, but it's not in italics. It's just simply saying no, and it's in the it's the negative is a me, mu, eta. You can say no different ways in the Greek. You can say no emphatically, or you can say no maybe, me. And the point is this, he used the no maybe because we can sin. Just because we're under grace doesn't mean we can't sin. And just because we're not under the law doesn't mean we should sin. That's what Paul is saying. I believe that's all he's saying. He says, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? No. There are consequences for living in sin. Regardless of your privileges. And I didn't put it in the notes, but it is very interesting what Paul was capable of doing. I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 9. I'm going to read a couple of verses here. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul said in verse 20, he says, unto the Jews I became as a Jew, okay, that I might gain the Jews, to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. Paul, there were times when Paul lived under the law. Why? So that he might win some Jews who have been called into his kingdom and glory. So therefore he was able to, when he went to Jerusalem with the gifts that were given to the poor in Jerusalem, the powers that be in Jerusalem said, now, Paul, people know you're in town, and they know that you've been teaching against about Gentiles. Now, we've got a couple of guys down at the temple that have a vow, and I want you to go down there and get involved with them. Remember that? He did. He went down there, shaved his head to pay the vow, and of course, he got himself in trouble. But anyway, he became under the law that he might gain them that are under the law. Verse 21, to them that are without law, as without law. In other words, Paul played like he was lawless. if you want to put it that way, but the next verses tell us that he wasn't lawless. That's the main thing. Being not without law to God. See that? Paul played like he wasn't under law, but he was still under the law of God, without law to God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. So Paul is saying, no, we're not to sin because we're not under the law, nor are we to sin because we're under grace. Because if we sin, of course grace will abound more. But we're not under the answer to verse 15 is no. In 1 John 3, those abiding in the Lord don't sin. 1 John 3:6, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. But whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither know him. In other words, what are we to be doing? Is abiding in the Lord. Abiding in Him. And we're not going to be practicing sin. And this word, whosoever is practicing sin, hath not seen Him, neither know Him. This isn't talking about getting saved. You don't get saved by seeing the Lord or knowing the Lord. You get saved by believing. That's the reason why I put this in here. In Acts 16:31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus. Not see or not know. Okay? And seeing Him, we see Him by faith. Because faith puts substance to our high priest. It puts substance to the Lord in His coming. And we don't practice sin. Whoso abideth in Him doesn't practice sin. Now, the word abideth, I believe, has to do with living with Him. Jean abideth with me, and I abideth with her. And we abide at the house. We're together. That's what the word abideth carries the meaning. It doesn't mean that I'm in heaven or that Jesus is here, though the Holy Spirit is within me. Jesus is at the right hand. Abiding with Him is having to do with fellowship and being together in prayer and in the reading of the Scriptures. But in verse 7 of 1 John 3, it says, little children, and by the way, this word little children has to do with those who enter the kingdom. So we're talking about people who are interested in ruling and reigning with Christ. This is little children. You find this in the Gospels. Let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is just, even as He is just. Jesus Christ was just. And if we will do righteousness, if we will live in righteousness, practice righteousness, we're going to be just. And to be just means that we're not chargeable. And so we need to be little children, those who are seeking to enter the kingdom, we need to be doing right things, practicing them. And then in verse 8, it says, he that committeth sin, the sin of lawlessness, is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God, our high priest, was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Well, he that practices the lawlessness is of the devil. You know what the devil wants you to do? To be lawless. He knows if you will be lawless, He'll disqualify you from taking over one of the places of His angels in heaven. Because one day we will assume positions of honor that the devil's angels now hold. Why do I know that? It's because I know that the overcomers, the ones that are ruling and reign, are going to possess the gates of their enemies. And my enemies are not here on the earth, my enemies are in the heavens. Therefore, my positions of honor and glory will be in the heavens. And so when he says here that he that practices sin is of the devil. And but you know what? The Son of God, our high priest, was manifest. That was after his death. Okay? After his death, he was manifested and raised to the right hand of the Father, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now let me say this. That isn't like it sounds. The devil is not destroyed today. The devil is alive and well and operating. And what this word destroy is really means is he has lessened the power of the devil to cause you to live in lawlessness. The high priestly office of the Lord Jesus Christ has limited the power of Satan in your life and in mine. And that's what we have to have. Did you know that Satan is more powerful than we are? Anybody who's saying that they're chaining the devil don't know what they're talking about. The devil isn't chained. We don't have the power to do that. And he's going to only be chained once, and that's at the end of this age when he is cast into the bottomless pit. But our high priest has limited the power of the devil in your influence in your life and mine. That's what this verse is saying. And this word destroy is the Greek word luo, from which we get the word loose. He has loosed us from our sins in his own blood. First, Revelation 1:5, it says washed, and luo does mean washed, but it means to release. He has the power. The devil doesn't have the power that in our life that he would like to have. Now, verse 9: whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. This is not born from above, born of God. Born from above is bringing into the family. He is talking to little children. He is talking to people that are already in the family and that have light to know about entering the kingdom. That's what the little children are seeking to do. And this word here, whosoever is born out from the God, there's a definite string of prepositions and articles here, out from the God. Not the Son of God, but the God. And they are the ones that are not going to practice sin. This being born out from God is a new beginning. A new beginning unto His kingdom and glory. Okay, and I'll show you that in just a moment. It says, for His seed remaineth in Him, present active. Now what is the seed? I'll show you that in just a moment. He cannot or is not able to practice sin. Sin is in the present tense. It's actually an infinitive. To sin, a present infinitive. Why? Because he is born of God. Now, in 1 John 5:1, it tells us who it is that is born out from God. Whosoever believeth, present active, that Jesus is the Christ, is born out of God. That's who is born out of God. It's those that believe in the present tense who Jesus Christ is. Or who Jesus is. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the Prince. He is the Anointed. He is not only that, He is our High Priest. They are the ones who are born out from God. And the seed, Luke 10 and 11 tells us what the seed is. And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. What is the Word of God? It's the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Now 1 Peter 1:23 tells us that those to whom Peter is writing, being begotten again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God. The Word of God, or the mysteries of the kingdom of God, give us a prospect of things to come, and that gives us a hope of glory and a new beginning. And the Word of God which liveth and abideth for the age. And that's when we need the Word of God, is in this age. Because it's applicable to us today. Now, 1 Peter 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This is the seed that has begotten us unto this living hope. That is the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, which is the Word of God. Now, why not sin? Romans 6:16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. The word yield in this passage of Scripture in verse 16 has to do with releasing our desires, our plans, our purposes. That's crying, Abba, Father. That's what it means to yield ourselves as servants. As a servant, who calls the shots in your life and mine? The Lord does. We don't call the shots. And we're obeying. The word obey is interesting. It's a compound Greek word. And it means to be under what you hear. You know, you read the Scriptures. Are you under what you read or hear? Or are you just reading them So you can check off a little box. Now I check off a little box, or two boxes, Old Testament, New Testament. So when I read them and I check them off, well, God's not impressed with my check marks. He is impressed how I respond to what I read and what I hear. And that's what obedience is to be under what we hear. And His servants ye are to whom ye obey. Present active. In other words, if you're being obedient, you're doing what you hear, then you're an obedient servant. Because what you hear is going to tell you what to do. Servants are not just simply statues standing on the corner. Servants are there to respond to the master's bidding. Now, who is our master? Is sin our master? Or is obedience or the Lord our master? If sin is our master, you know what it leads to? It leads to a place called Thanatos that has keys, that has a door, and if you're in there, you're not going to get out until the end of the millennium or at such time as you have paid the uttermost farthing. I think there is a, until you have paid the uttermost farthing, that has to do with time and money and so forth, so it may not be for a whole 1,000 years. But anyway, the point is this. You're going to be a place where you're not going to like to be, and so therefore the Lord put a door on it with a lock on it so you couldn't get out, or I could not get out. Now if I live in sin, that's where I'm going to be. Particularly if I've been called into His kingdom and glory. That's the ones that are really going to be in that place. Okay? Now, and if we are obedient, if obedience is our master, that leads to righteousness. And if righteousness reigns, or if we are obedient, being obedient unto righteousness, then Romans 5:21, that's the key. That as the sin hath reigned unto the death, a place, even so my grace reigned through righteousness, leading to age-lasting life, or life for the kingdom age through Jesus Christ our Lord. And might grace reign. Might grace be in charge. It may not be. That's the point. It may not be in charge. And if we're living in sin, we're not living by faith. And if we're not living by faith, we're not having grace. And if we're not having grace, grace is not in charge. And we're disqualified for life for the coming kingdom. Okay? Now, Paul does remind them, but thanks be to God that ye were the servants of the sin. He's giving them credit for being delivered from the power of serving lawlessness. Why? Because you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. You know what? Bible teaching is important. That's doctrine. Bible study is important. That has to do with doctrine. Paul told Timothy, he says, till I come, give attendance to reading, exhortation, to doctrine. And that word attendance is in the present tense. Pay attention to reading, exhortation, to doctrine. This one verse is a verse that I use to encourage every person to learn to read. Did you know that it's God's will for you and I to learn to read? There's a lot of people that don't know how to read. If you don't know how to read, how can you obey this verse? Learning to read. And being able to be exhorted. And to doctrine. Paul told Timothy later on in that chapter, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Doctrine is going to reprove, rebuke, exhort, and the pastor teacher needs to be patient. Allow people time to change. And you know what? There are times when I'm in season and there are times when I'm out of season. There's times when I said, Lord, it would be nice if we could have a real heavy snow this Sunday. So I can sleep in or relax or something like that. You know what I mean? I'm just kidding around a little bit. But there are times when I'm in season. There's times when I'm out of season. And you know what? You too. There's times when you feel like it and there's times when you don't feel like it. You know what? Have long suffering. Endure. And let me tell you this. Doctrine has to be endured. Did you know that? It's not always fun. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. And you know what? People that are turning from the truth, they are in bondage. Jesus told His disciples in John 8:31-2, He says, Jesus said unto those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then ye are My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Truth. You turn your ears itching, you got an itching ear and you want to hear some fables, some fairy tales, some stories, you don't want to hear doctrine, you know what? You're in bondage. There are churches in this city that are in bondage because there's no one teaching the truth. Now, free to serve. He says, you were the servants of sin in Romans 6:17. Romans 6:18, being then made free from the sin, ye become the servants of righteousness. We're free from serving lawlessness. And being free from lawlessness and being its servant, we can serve righteousness. And if we serve serve righteousness, that is obedience, then we're going to enjoy reaping some things that we want to reap. Verse 19, I speak after the manner of some of men because of your infirmities. All he's saying here is I'm going to explain this to you where you can get it. That's what he's saying. I want to explain this to you in shop talk. Okay? He says, as you have yielded your members' servants to uncleanness. You know what? Every one of us know what that means. You don't have to do any really fancy explaining on that. As ye have yielded your members' servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, leading to iniquity, even so now, do the same thing the other way around. It's interesting here to me. If we're unclean and we're living in lawlessness, you know what that leads to? More lawlessness. You start letting down the barriers. I start letting down the barriers to justify doing something that's really what the Lord would not have us to do, then it becomes easier to do it again and again, and then it broadens. So it goes from lawlessness unto more lawlessness. And you know what? God wants us to go from grace to grace. God wants us to go from power to more power. This is, I believe, in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Grace to grace. So as we have gone from lawlessness unto lawlessness, now yield your members' servants to righteousness leading unto holiness. Holiness has to do with sanctification. Being holy. Be clean. Be obedient. Be under what you hear. And if you are, you're going to be clean. In 1 Thessalonians It tells us about the members, for the body is not one member, but many. And when it talks about yielding your members, I believe it has to do with the hand, the foot, the eye, the ear, the feet, the mouth. In other words, these extremities. These are the things that respond to the natural things of sin. Things that I lust, you know, or want. You know, when I think about the mouth, well, there's nothing like a good piece of chocolate. And you know what? As I yielded my members, my mouth to chocolate, what does it do? It leads me to have more chocolate and then more chocolate. And now we need to have it so that we can respond to things that are right the same way. It's just amazing. You just eat one piece of chocolate, you just like eating one of those potato chips. You just can't eat one, right? Okay. So we need to put our members to death. And we do that with our thought life, I believe. When I think about chocolate, in my own experience is this. If I eat too much chocolate, I get sick. It causes problems in my stomach that I didn't have when I was young. Okay? And you know what? I say, I cannot have another piece of chocolate. Gene will fix up a batch of popcorn. Man, that smells so good. Man, I just love to just dig into a batch of popcorn. You know what? My brain says, don't touch it. If I eat that popcorn, it's going to affect me for a whole week. And so therefore, I bring my thoughts into captivity under the obedience of Christ in spiritual things, not in popcorn, but in spiritual things. We need to do that. Mortify, put them to death, our members which are upon the earth. Why? Otherwise, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, will take over. So, why are we want to control ourselves? So that we will not be chargeable. Romans 6:20, for when ye were servants of the sin, ye were free from righteousness. That means if you're a servant of sin, you're chargeable. And your charge is that you are free from righteousness reigning or ruling, so that grace can rule and reign. So then, in Romans 6:21, it says, what fruit then are ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? In the old life, the old way, then, things you did brought shame. You know what? The things that we did in the past, if we do them now, you know what? It'll bring shame in the days, in the coming kingdom. For the end of those things is Thanatos, a place. And that's the fruit of lawlessness. Did you know that? That's what you get. Thanatos. That's the fruit of lawlessness. Verse 22, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruits unto holiness. And the end, age-lasting life. What is the fruit of holiness? Life for the age. And that's in the kingdom. The fruits of serving God. In fact, it says here, become servants to God. And if you are serving the Lord, you're going to bear fruit that will provide you with life for the coming age. Why? For the wages of sin is death. Death is Thanatos, a place you don't want to be. But the gift of God is age-lasting life. This word gift is an interesting word. It's a compound word, or it's a word that is grace gift. It's the gift that we get by grace. It's not a gift that we get and we can live any way we want to get it. That's not what this gift is. It's a gift based upon grace. It's a grace gift of God. And what is that grace gift? Age-lasting life. And if we're having grace, you know what we're doing? We're pleasing God. We're having His power. We're honoring His Word. And so therefore, because we are honoring Him and we are having grace, then we're going to enter into the hope of glory that we have now. And that hope of glory has to do with His coming kingdom and glory. So, the wages of the sin is death, but the gift of God is age-lasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And notice that it's through our Lord, or Jesus Christ our Lord. He's our high priest. He's the one who is providing the means for us to do that. And I put in Romans or Revelation 1:18 so you could see. So you'd have this verse for a record. The death is the wages of lawlessness. And it is a place, and there are keys. Did you know that the kingdom of heaven is a place? Did you know that it has keys as well? You know what? You enter into His coming kingdom, you can't get out, and you don't want out. But you know what? Peter used those keys to open the doors that Jews and Samaritans and Gentiles could enter in. The door on Thanatos is locked until it's time to get out, and you're not going to like it in there. Okay? So, what should we be doing? Well, we want wages. We want to reap. John 4:36, "And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal," or everlasting life, or age-lasting life, "that both he that soweth and he that reapeth shall rejoice together." Not all of us have the same job, but all of us reap the same benefits, life of the coming age. There's some that sow, there's some that reap. But we are going to rejoice together if we don't faint. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 8 and 9, it says, "For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." That's the wages of the flesh. And you know what? You sow to the flesh, you're going to faint. You're going to faint. The flesh is weak. And if we're ministering to the flesh, we're going to quit. "But he that soweth to the Spirit," and I think this Spirit here is the Spirit of submitting to the will of God. That's the Abba Spirit, whereby we cry, "Abba, Father." If we sow to the Spirit, we shall of the Spirit reap what? Life everlasting, or age-lasting life in the coming kingdom. That's the wages. And you reap that when? In the age to come. "But let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap wages of life in the kingdom if we faint not now." So what is Paul encouraging us to do? Don't quit. Serve righteousness. Let grace reign. Why? Because there are blessings and benefits for those who will pay the price of serving the Lord in this age. Father, I just pray that You'd bless the message to our hearts. Pray, Lord, that You would help us to endure sound doctrine, and that we would be under what we hear, not what man says, but what the Scripture says. Help us, Lord, to stand in Your presence approved, and to receive the joy that has been set before us, that we might hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and enter into Your joy. These things we ask and pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.